no fear, 'cause I believe. There is no doubt, 'cause I have seen your faithfulness, my fortress, over and over.
I have a hope found in your name, and I have a strength found in your grace. Your faithfulness, my fortress, over and over.
Make way through the water, walk me through the fire. Do what you are famous for, what you are famous for. Shut the mouths of lions, bring dry bones to life, and do
Wish I could describe it, but I can't contain it. Can't keep it to myself. They're out on the colors.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my turn till I met you. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my turn. Till I made you call my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. You call my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. Now your mercy has saved my soul. Your freedom is all that I know.
This is my story. This is your story. Come on, listen.
I needed rescue. My sin was heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter. I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven. Where I was broken, you were my
Good morning. On behalf of the Allen family, and we want to welcome you here today, and we want to share our thanksgiving for coming and paying our last respects to Oliver Dean Allen. And we're going to pray, and then after we pray, we're going to have a couple songs that Dean liked, and we're going to have just a little time of worship because we're celebrating his life and what Jesus meant to him. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the wonderful and mighty name of Jesus, and we just thank you that you are here with us today, because you said where two or more are gathered in your name, there you would be in the midst of us. And Lord, we just pray, everything that is said, everything that is sung, everything that is done today will bring glory and honor to your name. And Lord, as we celebrate his life, and as we celebrate the legacy of faith that he left, not only with his family, but all those that he came in touch with, we thank you, Father God. As Paul said, there's a crown of righteousness that has awaited him. And so, Lord, today we honor your servant, Lord, in the life that he led and the life that he lived here upon this earth. I ask, Lord, that your grace, your comfort, your peace would be on the family, would be on all those that are gathered today. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.
If you would like to stand and join in worship for these couple songs that were some of Dean's favorites. There's a way.
Hallelujah. You may be seated. We love Jesus here. And we know Dean loved Jesus. And so as we celebrate his life today, it's about him, but it's also about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he is our Savior and our Lord. And so I want to share with you Oliver Dean Allen, age 78, of Cheyenne, Wyoming, went to be with our Lord and Savior on Sunday, May 26, 2024. Dean was born on August 9, 1945, in Yuma, Colorado, to Oliver Joseph Allen and Vernadine Dilka Allen. He graduated from Yuma High School in 1964. Dean met the love of his life, Meredith Allen, in 1967, and they married on June 9, 1968. He was the first person in his family to pursue a college education. Dean achieved an associate's degree in ministry in 1980 from Rhema Bible College. A devout Christian, he was a licensed and ordained minister of the gospel. He was the co-pastor and administrator of the Yuma County Christian Center in Eckley, Colorado. Dean served on a mission trip in Haiti and led a youth ministry program focused on growing closer to God while gaining survival skills in Medicine Bow National Forest in Vidavu. He was a pillar in Family Harvest Church community. Dean served as associate pastor and co-founder and dean of Cheyenne Bible Training Center. He was known for his powerful prayers and his unwavering belief in God's love. Dean cherished creating memories with his family in the mountains. He loved camping with his children and grandchildren, passing on his love for the outdoors to the next generation. From an early age, he had a passion for horticulture, was an avid gardener. This beloved hobby provided a peaceful haven where he could nurture life and find solace, especially through his final days. He was preceded in death by his parents, Oliver and Vernadine Allen, his siblings, Bonnie Lovett and Joyce Allen, and great-grandson, Tegan Holtz. Dean is survived by his wife of 56 years, Meredith Allen, son, Michael Tracy Allen of Harrisonville, Missouri, daughter Brenda Allen of Cheyenne, Wyoming, son Jason Carly Allen of Cheyenne, Wyoming, and two sisters, Lynette Stegman of Yuma, Colorado, and Vernita Jo Crowder of Donovan, Missouri. Dean had seven grandchildren, Amanda, Scott, Ezel Allen, Alexandra, William Barnes, Alicia Tanner Holes, Jaden Allen, Jackson Allen, Jace Allen, and Riley Rivera. He is also survived by eight great-grandchildren, Adeline, Nora, Jackson, Ainsley, Maxwell, Taven, another Adeline, and Emily.
Such an honor to be able to speak about Dean. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. These words offer a powerful message of hope, especially as we gather here today to remember Dean Allen. While we grieve his passing, we find comfort in knowing that his faith offered him the promise of eternal life. Dean was born on August 9, 1945, in Yuma, Colorado, to Oliver Joseph Allen and Vernadine Dilka Allen. Raised by a World War II veteran and surrounded by the strength of four sisters, Dean's upbringing instilled in him the values of service and dedication, which he carried into his ministry work. From an early age, he had a passion for horticulture and was an avid gardener. This beloved hobby provided a peaceful haven where he could nurture life and find solace, especially through his final days. Dean grew up on the family homestead in eastern Colorado and graduated from Yuma High School in 1964. He met the love of his life, Meredith Kaufman, in 1967 on a blind date, introduced by Meredith's best friend, Ida, and Dean's cousin, Dave. Though he worked two jobs, one in Denver and one south of Yuma, he would spend weekends visiting Meredith in Brush. Among the many dates they went on, one of their favorite pastimes was listening to the Everly Brothers together. Dean and Meredith married on June 9, 1968. Dean's early career with IBM took the young family on an adventure. Their first son, Michael, arrived in 1969 in Longmont, Colorado. Soon after, a transfer led them to Vermont, where they welcomed their daughter, Brenda, in 1972. The family's journey eventually brought them back to Colorado, where their youngest son, Jason, joined them in 1975. There was no greater pleasure for Dean than witnessing the sounds of his children's laughter as they built a lifetime of memories. Balancing parenthood with a higher calling, Dean and Meredith completed their ministry degrees together at Rhema Bible College. Following graduation, Dean officially began his impactful work as a licensed and ordained minister of the gospel. He served on a mission trip in Haiti and led a youth ministry program focused on growing closer to God while gaining survival skills in wilderness locations. Dean was the co-pastor and administrator of the Yuma County Christian Center in Eckley, Colorado. He also started a home church in Sydney, Nebraska, which he led for several years before moving to Cheyenne, Wyoming. A pillar in the Family Harvest Church community, Dean served as an associate pastor. He was also a co-founder and dean of the Cheyenne Bible Training Center. Dean's unwavering faith in God's love shone brightly in his life. He served as a role model in his faith community, a devoted husband and father and neighbor. He found a deep sense of purpose and meaning in mentoring the church's youth and new believers, offering them not only guidance, but also the warmth of his support. Though Dean may have seemed quiet, his presence brought comfort to those around him. He often put the needs of others before his own. Dean had a thoughtful way of choosing the perfect greeting cards, each one a reflection of his desire to bring joy. Even his playful stubbornness and his ornery humor, some might say, were expressions of his love, a way to make his loved ones smile. An avid fisherman, Dean loved taking his children and grandchildren on camping trips, patiently passing on his love for the outdoors while making lasting memories under the open sky. Family gatherings were filled with Dean's playful teasing. With a mischievous glint in his eye, he'd hold back a grin until the punchline landed, or until the person seemed to believe what he was saying. One of his granddaughters spoke about the love he poured into each generation of his family. Grandpa lives on through his children, his wife, and his family. I believe the greatest parts of my grandfather will never fade. They will only prosper. This passage from Ephesians 3:20 through 21 in the ESV embodies Dean's belief in God's limitless power. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. We can all learn from Dean's example of unwavering faith and selfless acts of love. We can find comfort in knowing his spirit lives on in our hearts. May God's glory be with him eternally. And next, we have a slideshow honoring Dean.
I wish I could tell you, wish I could describe it. But I can't contain it, can't keep it to myself. There are not enough colors to paint the whole picture. Not enough words to ever say what I found. Wonderful. My God, that's my shepherd, my protector, that's my king, that's my rock,
that's my anchor.
I just find it interesting slides. You see things that you need to ask a question. So, Dad, Grandpa, wish he did fish. Made you do it. Oh, that is awesome. Right? And it looked like he knew how to row. Yeah. What was that? Only that one needs murder. So, it's good to see things and take a moment and eat a life of a man of God and for him. And I want to pray for here today. Father, we just thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for precious here today. And Lord God, we just ask you to bring comfort to today. Share your mind. We will go with what we hear with our mouth, hear with our heart. And thank you for here. You are, and you lead us and guide us in Jesus' name. So I want you to describe Dean's life. And those of us as a patient, we had many encounters. The few times that I had already wanted to pray with Dean, he was, as shared earlier, he was a man of prayer. And it always encouraged me to draw into a deeper place of prayer and communication and testimony as we did that. And so we've come here for a number of reasons today. We're here to pay tribute and our respect to him, a husband, a father, grandfather, and brother, Alan. Not only have people from this congregation and community here, some who own Dean as a minister of the gospel and love him because of him. And so also here to show our love to Dean's family. And once again, we offer this to you. Our hearts go out to you in the loss of husband, father, grandfather. And even as we are, remember and live not only today, but the days and months and come. And we pray that God's presence will be with them. And they're gathered today and receive. We would be less than honest if we said our age for this situation. We are not proud to acknowledge that we are here, that God will make our hearts. And strength to trust him in our walk with him. You know, it's human nature. We want to ask a lot. It's our human nature, but to trust him. You know, I read something this morning. Just really, my heart just has to obey him, follow him, not hear everything out, just follow him. And that's that trust that we have in him. He's not sincere. We trust him. We put our trust. Proverbs 5, trust the Lord, all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. Philippians 4:7. The peace of God surpasses all standing your hearts and minds, Christ Jesus. And that's specifically not going to tell you not to cry. But sometimes of faith. God does with emotions. Emotions and problems valve that God created. And so I don't want you ever to think it's likely to cry. It just means you're left alone. You miss your dad. And it's like God is inside of us. So it's okay. It's okay. It's okay to tell you also they're going to have questions there. And it'll be there. And as we continue to live for the Lord. Yeah, I read a statement here recently. It says, the measure of a life is not in its duration, but in its donation. I'll read that again. The measure of a life is not in its duration, but in its donation. When we think of Dean's donation, what he contributed, what he invested, a legacy of faith that he has imparted to his wife, his children, and his grandchildren, and many of us here, we have much to be thankful for. And many of us have benefited from his words of wisdom. And what he has spoken to us by the Holy Spirit. Consider the investment of love and devotion he made in his marriage with Meredith. You can see it in the pictures, right? That devotion and the love that he had for Meredith. We consider the investments of godliness and nurturing that Dean made into the lives of his children and grandchildren. Consider the investments of the Word of God that Dean made into the lives of so many people. Not only members of this church, but all the people and fellow ministers over the years that he came in contact with, the investment that he put in, the impartations that he gave, and the impartations that he gave to you as his children. We don't want to forget those. We don't want to devalue. We honor that. He loved Jesus, and he loved you. And I know his greatest desire is that you serve Jesus and commit your life totally and completely to him. You know, later today when we go to the graveside and after all the words have been spoken and the songs have been sung, we'll stand there and commit the body of Dean to the keeping of this earth until the Lord comes again. We will commit his soul into the loving hands of the God he served, bringing an end to the final chapter of his earthly life. But it will not be the end of his story, because the memory of his life and the influence of his life remains. Because Dean committed his life to God and the work of God, he was energized by a power greater than this natural world understands. I'm going to say that again. He was energized. And we might look at people and say, what is different about? It's the power of God on the inside. It's the energy of the Holy Spirit that transforms a person and enables them to do things that probably they never thought they could do, but because of who God is in them. Dean was a great husband and a father, a grandfather, a friend, a mentor, and a prayer warrior. His favorite verse, as Joshua read earlier, was John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Because he had a great desire for souls, to see people come into the kingdom and have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and not just come into the kingdom, but to grow in their relationship with God as well. This is the greatest legacy a man can pass on to his family, his friends, fellow minister, associates, that others would come to know the Lord and Savior that he so faithfully served. Dean's life, and I just added this story this morning because I just thought of his life and his desire to see people come to Christ. And it's a story about a preacher that was on the Titanic, and his name was John Harper, and he was a pastor in Glasgow, Scotland. And so he was invited to speak at Moody Memorial Church in Chicago. And so as he boarded the Titanic, he thought, I have 5 nights. I can share my notes or study and write my notes and such. But as the passage went on, because he had such a heart for people, they would find John Harper on the deck talking to people about Jesus and asking them, do you know Jesus? Are you a Christian? In fact, that's what he was doing the last night before the Titanic sank. He was out on the deck talking to people. And as the Titanic sank, he came up on deck. And I find this really interesting. And not only did he say women and children, but he said all the unsaved in the lifeboat first. And if you know the story of the Titanic, many were found later clinging to pieces of wood or pieces of debris. And John Harper was one of those. And as the Titanic sank, the swirling waters would bring the people together, and then they would drift apart. And there was one man that came close to John Harper, and he said, sir, have you become a Christian? Do you know Jesus? And the man says, no, I am not. And they drifted apart. And a while later, and I believe this was the Holy Spirit that did this, the same man came close to John Harper again. He said, sir, have you become a Christian? And he said, no, I'm afraid I haven't. And that was the last time this gentleman saw John Harper. This gentleman was rescued by one of the ships. And later, he was heard to say, I became a Christian that night. And so he moved to Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, and settled there. And he would be invited to give his testimony of how he came to Christ. And he would begin it with this: I was John Harper's last convert. And I believe that speaks so mightily to Dean's life of wanting to see people, to see his family and friends and all those he came in contact with, to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I have no doubt that he's already met people in heaven that he led to the Lord. I have no doubt that there'll be many more that will come to him And whether it was through praying or whether it was through personal contact, that will say to him, thank you. Revelation 14:13 says this, and I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on, yes, as a spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works will follow them. His work on this earth was of eternal value, and because of that, he will have eternal reward. Paul says in Philippians 3:13-14, brethren, I do not count myself to apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This celebration of life service is not really for Dean. He's in heaven. This service is for us who are left here upon this earth. He reached the ultimate destination of the universe. We say that he has departed, but God says he has arrived. God sees things from a different perspective than we do. God never sees his children die. He simply sees them coming home. The real questions we face today really pertain. The real questions we face today don't really pertain to Dean. He has arrived. They have to do with us. What are we going to do? What are we going to focus on? Dwight L. Moody, the great evangelist, may have one day lived amidst question marks, but he discovered the glorious service of complete trust in God. His last days were wonderfully spent among the exclamation points. Dwight L. Moody said, someday you will read in the papers that D.L. Moody of Northfield is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. At that moment, I shall be more alive than I am now. I shall have gone higher, that is all. Out of this old clay tenement, into a house that is immortal, a body that sin cannot touch, that sin cannot taint, a body fashioned into his glorious body. I was born in the flesh in 1837. I was born of the spirit in 1856. That which is born of the flesh may die. That which is born of the spirit will live forever. A few hours before entering the homeland, Dwight L. Moody caught a glimpse of the glory awaiting him. Awakening from sleep, he said, earth receded. Heaven opens before me. If this is death, it is sweet. There's no valley here. God is calling me, and I must go. His son was standing by his bedside and said, no, no, Father, you are dreaming. No, said Mr. Moody, I am not dreaming. I have been within the gates. I have seen the children's faces. A short time elapsed, and he spoke again. This is my triumph. This is my coronation day. It is glorious. And contrary to what we would have liked, Dean has taken an earlier flight. But we still share a common destination, or we can share a common destination. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Dean's race ended earlier than we anticipated, but we still have our race to run. And Dean would not have it any other way than that we give our best for the kingdom of God. We will deeply miss him, but we rejoice that he is with our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. And in honor of him, I say, ring out the welcome, swing wide the gates, choirs of angels stand and sing, Amazing Grace. There's one more soldier of the King whose trials are past. Ring out the welcome, loud and clear, he's home at last. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. And Lord Jesus, we thank you. Thank you for going to the cross. Thank you for paying the penalty for our sin. And Lord God, we just thank you for the life of Dean Allen. Thank you for the example. Thank you for the legacy of faith that he left. And Lord God, we just thank you for the comforting power of the Holy Spirit, because we know that he is rejoicing in heaven. And Lord God, we have the promise of all that have committed their lives to Christ. We will have that same opportunity to meet our Savior face to face. And I believe he heard, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And so, Lord God, I pray for each and every person in this room and those that are watching by live stream. And Father, if there's anyone in this room today, Lord, that they are not sure of their eternal destiny, I pray, Lord God, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will minister to their hearts to realize, Lord God, no greater joy, no greater peace than to give our life completely and totally to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I pray for each and every person, and for those of us that know him, we thank you, Lord. And I thank you today, Lord God, drawing us closer to you, drawing us into your presence as only you can, and bringing the comforting power of your Spirit to bear on each and every heart and mind in this room and those watching by live stream. It's in Jesus' wonderful and precious name we pray. Amen. So this concludes our service here. We are going to have an interment service out at Mountain View Cemetery immediately following this. And so if you would like to go out there, we ask that you put your flashers on, but we have to obey the speed limits and the traffic laws. Just want you to know that. And if you're not sure, it's out Yellowstone and on the north side of town. And then there will be a reception following that downstairs. And if you're not going to the interment, you can go downstairs. There'll be coffee and tea and water, and you can just visit. The family asked me to announce that. And so at this time, I will lead the family out.